Hello, nice to be with you and with myself, being with the other is really being with oneself. What I mean by that is that when you look at your experience, you will find that all there is your experience. There is no other. The other, what we imagine the other to be, or what we think the other to be, is nothing else but our own thoughts or our own perception. So when I look at you, I'm really seeing not somebody out there, but I'm seeing my perception. I am perceiving my perception. And so in a way, if you contemplate that you are actually perceiving your perception, you might have the insight that in fact there is no other, or another way of putting it is that the other is your very self, is your very perception. So like for example, like right now, you could be thinking that you are listening to Magdi, while if you look a little closer at what is the implication, or what is the actuality of listening to Magdi, you might contemplate that you're actually listening to your own perception. You're experiencing your own hearing of these words, and the hearing of these words is your actual experience right here, right now. You're not experiencing somebody being out there somewhere else, although maybe in thought, the thought might arise that what you are hearing is somebody else's voice out there. That very thought that you are experiencing Magdi's voice out there is your intimate experience. That thought itself is what you're experiencing right here, right now. And when we say you're experiencing your own thought right here, right now, what is meant by that is that in the aware space that you are, in the openness that you are, there is an appearance, and this appearance is this hearing. It's really fascinating when you contemplate it, because if what you are is this open space right here, right now, that is experiencing this listening, that is experiencing, if you're looking at the screen, it is experiencing this perception. Then all you are experiencing is yourself. In other words, you're experiencing your own perception, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own emotions. And although we refer to things as emotions, thoughts, and perceptions, sensations, these are just labels. Because at this very moment, if you consider, for example, the label hearing and the label seeing, you now in your own direct experience, and maybe you can contemplate that with me, that the of the screen and the hearing of this voice, there is no demarcation like them. Both the what we refer to as the visual and what we refer to as the auditory are in the same are occurring in the same space, and then there is no line between them. There is no actual dividing line that says, yeah, this is hearing and it starts here and ends there, and this is seeing and it starts here and ends there. So the distinction between the senses is simply a functional distinction that we use for communication purposes. But as we are exploring the truth, as we are exploring what is the fact, what is our true nature, not our belief systems, not our conceptual interpretations, but when we're exploring our direct experience, we have to go through, beyond the conceptual, we have to go to the direct exploration. So coming back to the exploration of distinction between the senses, this distinction is strictly for functional purposes, while in our experience, the perception, the sensation, the thought, the mind is undivided. There are no dividing lines that exist between the senses. So then we can contemplate, that's cool. I could dig that the senses are sort of like, you know, a whole thing, a wholeness. What is the nature of this experience right now? We are perceiving, we're hearing, we're sensing right now. Maybe you're sitting down and you're feeling your feet on the ground, or your back against the couch or the chair, wherever you are. The question becomes, what is the nature of this experience? So, investigating of contemplating this question is to, as you probably do on your own, and as you've probably been doing for a while, is to look, you turn your gaze around and you look at, what is it that's here right now? So, Undoubtedly, you are here right now. Whatever that you is, you're hearing these words. Yes, I'm talking to myself, but I'm hearing you say yes. At least, I assume you're saying yes. You are hearing these words right now. Whatever that is, there is no need for now. Let's not call whatever that is that is hearing these words by any name. Let's not call you Bill, Joe, Jim, and don't call the person, whatever is speaking these words, something is speaking these words, but let's not call it by a name. Let's just say there is obviously a hearing right now of these words. And so, what is this hearing? What makes this hearing hearing? In contemplating this question, you will find that there is one thing that makes this hearing possible, which is consciousness or awareness or presence, whatever words. I mean, there are so many different words to point to the same thing, but it's not really a thing. There is awareness of these words right now. There is awareness of hearing. This awareness of hearing and the hearing itself are not 5 feet apart. The awareness of hearing and the hearing itself are intimate. In other words, the awareness of hearing these words right now and the hearing of these words are not in two separate rooms. The hearing of these words is not outside in the yard, and the awareness of the hearing in another room. They're one. They're intimately one. So when you ponder that the awareness and the hearing are one, then, and we could say that the awareness is taking on the form of hearing right now. But at the same time that it's taking on the form of hearing these words right now, it's also taking on the form of seeing. It's seeing the screen right now. So simultaneously, awareness is taking on the form of hearing and of seeing. And you can also go to, for example, the sensation of your feet on the floor. If you can like turn your attention to the sensation of your feet on the floor or on the couch or whatever your feet are resting, the sensation of your feet, you will also find that awareness is also taking on the shape of or the form of this sensation. So awareness is taking on the form of perception, sensation, thought. It takes on all forms. And the fact of the matter is that if you take awareness out of the hearing right now, there would be no hearing. If you take awareness out of perceiving the skull, there would be no perceiving. So maybe the nature of this experience, maybe the substance of this experience, of perception, sensation, thought, feelings, emotion, maybe the nature and the substance of this experience that we're having right now is awareness, is consciousness. It's quite interesting. And then the tree falling in the forest makes no sound without awareness. Yes, right. So like the substance of all appearances is awareness. And then when you turn around that awareness way, you know, to contemplate awareness, you will find that there has never been any awareness without you. In other words, what is awareness out in space out there somewhere without you? What is awareness without a knowingness of awareness? So awareness without awareness of awareness is like an empty word. If you say, yeah, there is awareness and it's, you know, everything is awareness, but I am something else, that's an oxymoron. It makes no sense. So the awareness and you are intimate. There is an intimacy between awareness and you. There is no possibility for hearing these words without you. You as awareness. So what's fascinating about this exploration is that as you contemplate that, you realize, as you contemplate your experience, you realize that your experience is basically awareness taking on all forms and being aware of the awareness. See, meaning that you are the one that is hearing these words. And the meaning of I hear these words, it can be said it's awareness being aware of itself. Awareness is being aware of itself as hearing, as perceiving, as emoting, as sensing. So it's really fascinating because when you start contemplating that, gee, I am not Magdi, this mortal bag of flesh and bones. I am awareness being aware. Awareness aware of itself. And this awareness, if you contemplate it, you will find that not contained in your body. although there might be a thought that says that awareness is in the brain and so on, we've read a lot of stuff about that. Where is awareness located? There are a lot of research going on right now to try to locate awareness in the brain, and they're also searching all parts of the brain. But in your direct experience, right now, hearing these words, could you say that the hearing of these words, meaning the awareness of hearing, starts 4 inches to your left and 2 feet to your right? Could you actually find a starting point to awareness and an ending point to it? I bet the answer is no. No, you cannot find a beginning point of awareness and an ending point of awareness. Nor could you find a direction to awareness. You cannot, in looking at your experience, say that awareness is going up or is going down or is going east or west or going behind or forward. It's not locatable. It's non-local. It's not contained, and it is outside of the directionality of space. So it's not an object, because all objects are limited. So it's not limited, and it is it has no beginning and no end. Therefore, it is infinite, and it's you've never experienced. Again, I'm saying these things, but you have to contemplate these words. I understand that this talk might be taped, so maybe you can hear it, you know, listen to it later and contemplate some of the things that are being shared here. The other thing about awareness is that you never experience not being aware. In other words, there is no such thing as non-awareness. Because if there was such a thing as non-awareness, then how would you know it? You would need to be aware of non-awareness. So non-awareness itself is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction of that, in that very word, in that very concept, non-awareness. Because for non-awareness to exist, something has to be aware of it. Something has to know it. And so there is, whatever would know non-awareness would be awareness. So that would be an actual proof of awareness itself. So coming back to you've never experienced non-awareness, the point that I want to is that awareness is eternal. It's never not been. There's never been an experience of non-awareness. It has never not been. Which brings in the eternal quality of awareness. Now you might be wondering, gee, you know, what is Maggie talking about? I'm talking about our experience. I'm talking about your experience. I'm talking about what we truly are. You see, the belief that we are a mortal body or a mortal mind is just a belief. And this belief, this thought, which, and also this sensation, we all at some point sense that we are sort of in the body. You know, that sensation that I'm in my body. That sensation and the thought that I am, you know, this body, are just appearances as a thought and as a sensation in awareness. This is why it is said that although awareness does not appear, nothing appears without it. Although I am not perceived, no perception is possible without me consciousness, aware presence. So this is a very lovely contemplation that you can explore, which is the exploration of what is it that I What is it that I am, I truly am? Not the belief systems that we've been carrying for years and years, that I am this person that lives in this world and I must improve myself and I must develop better relationships and better career and so on. All these stories and beliefs have been embedded in our psyche, and also they've embedded themselves in our body. So in our body there is ignorance, meaning the ignoring our true nature, ignoring our wholeness, ignoring the ignorance of our universal consciousness, our eternal nature, our divine qualities. That's what I refer to as ignorance. Ignorance not only inhabits our mind, but it also inhabits our body, our belly, our chest, our face, our neck, our shoulders. So in this exploration of our true nature, there are two dimensions of this exploration. One dimension is the contemplation at the mind level, which is what we are doing now, although there is more than contemplation at the mind level. Right now there is also presence, which is not of words. Loves, thank you all, dances with miracles, love to you as well. So there are two dimensions to this spiritual exploration. The first one is at the mind level, meaning at the reasoning level, when we examine our experience and realize that this limited body-mind, that this is just a belief system. When we look at our experiences, at our experience, we realize that we are not actually, it's not an object that is experiencing this perception, that is consciousness is experiencing this perception. Now the other dimension of this exploration is at the body level. So at the body level, it's important I'm being distracted by all sorts of screens that are, things arising on my screen here, about downloading this and downloading that. So at the body level, so when there is a contraction, when you feel there is like some contraction in your body, when you feel that there is some expectation that has not been met, or somebody has said something to you that's upsetting, or a thought arose to you that is upsetting, you can at the body level to release it, because at the body level the body is porous. It's not just made out of flesh and bones. That's this theory of the body is not a complete theory. It's just that it has not been established. It's a belief system that the body is just made out of flesh and bones. Our true body is universal. It's a divine body. It's a very, very, it's an infinite body. So at the body level, if you can just contemplate that it is possible at the body level to dissolve these sensations, to release them in the body, and that the body is infinite. So imagine your body is like the universe. So like your skin, if you can like do some exercises whereby you can expand your body, expand your skin, as if you're like a balloon that's being inflated, inflating and past the room, past the galaxy, out in infinite space. Allow your body to sort of be this infinite body, and in this infinite body, all sensations, all contractions can dissolve. So invite them to dissolve. At the body level, do that as an exercise. You know, people meet with me and we do exercises together, you know, here, and it's new here on this station. I don't know exactly how to do this, but maybe at some time we could do one of these meditations that, you know, where you could experience the vastness of your body. So, you know, a good thing is, like, when you're going to sleep, it would be wonderful to... Yes, okay, well, I'll do that. I'll do that sometime. What you could do is, like, as you're going to sleep, before going to sleep, when you lie down, if you can sort of lie down, and the first thing to do is sort of allow all your thoughts and the entire day, everything that's arising, you know, because there's all sorts of activity during the day, and there is a period, like a twilight period, as you're going to sleep, before you fall asleep, where the world is sort of slowly dimming, like a dimmer. The lights are like dimming, and turn your attention to the dimming of these Robin gotta tell you, I shouldn't use your stuff with my stuff because I like it. Okay, you're welcome. There's not my stuff or your stuff or whatever stuff is stuff. So as you lie down, turn your attention to the dimming. How the world is sort of dimming. The thoughts are. There's more space between the thoughts. The body is starting to rest and settle, and try not to pick up any thought. If there is a specific thought as you're going to bed that's on your mind, invite it to dissolve. It's just, and as you'll find, just play with it until you find a way that you can turn your attention to the dimming quality of the world as you're going to sleep, and then at the body level, sense your body getting lighter and lighter and lighter, because that's what happens when you go to sleep. Your body disappears, and of course our other bodies, our dream bodies, that appear in your dream. But the what we refer to as the waking body, the physical body, the material body, that disappears. So notice its disappearance. Disappearing means that it goes from being a specific object to being infinity, to being emptiness, to being vastness. So every night when you go to sleep, especially also when you go from the dream state to the deep sleep state, your body goes into infinity. It goes to infinity. And as it goes to infinity, it's, you know it because you're experiencing that. You as consciousness are experiencing the dissolution of the body. Consciousness never dissolves, but the body dissolves. It just goes, it dissolves. And then there is consciousness of the dream character. But the point I wanted to make is that turn your attention to your body dissolving. Because we usually miss that transition between the physical body to the infinite body. So turn your attention to that transition that you experience, that you know. I'm not trying to invent anything new. I'm just turning your attention to something that we just usually don't pay attention to. And notice that there is such a thing as an infinite body, as the body disappearing. You see, the experience of the sage, or the experience, the divine experience, is that of an infinite body. So, like, I don't know so much about religions, but, you know, when me and the Father are one, you know, that saying, me and the Father are one, basically says that, one way of looking at it is that my being, whatever my being is, who I truly am, including my body, is the Father's body, which is the universe's body, God's body, infinite body. Because you see, sometimes there is this belief that there is an actual physical world out there and the spiritual world in here, and that they're not related. That's not how things are. The experience, the living experience, and the spiritual experience are one. The world and its appearances, you know, the thoughts, the perceptions, the feelings, and your spiritual awakening are connected. This is why it is said that one of the ways that you can determine your awakening, the level of your awakening, is by the degree of your peace, your inner peace and your happiness. A sage is unperturbed. Might seem to you to be perturbed, but in fact is not perturbed. Because when the sense of separation is seen through, when the sense of separation is seen through, it dissolves in the self, in the absolute. And at the body level, your body becomes that transparent body that is in your deep sleep state. Because in the deep sleep state, which where you go every day, we all go every night when we are in the deep sleep state, our body is infinite. It's not that there is no body. It's just the body is the infinity, is consciousness. So I'm saying all this because it is possible even now, as you're sitting here right now, you know, listening to this, to bring some lightness to your body, to turn your attention that your body has a light quality to it. That when you look for example, the sensation of your skin, for example, you look for it, you close your eyes and you look for the sensation of your skin, you will find that it's infinite. You will find it's a sensation. You can't pin it down. You can't. It's just it's here. It's at this point, because this sensation of your skin, of your body, is dissolved in awareness. It's awareness that takes on this sensation. And awareness is infinite. So you could like do that. Turn your attention to the sensation of your body. You can close your eyes and do that. And just try to locate the sensation of your body. And you will find that it's everywhere. And nowhere. It's hard to put it in words. And stay with that. Appreciate that, enjoy that, because there's a revelation in that. And the revelation is that you are formless, you are infinite, you're not contained, you're not separate, you're not limited. So the use of all these words that I've been saying for whatever the past few minutes, it's really so that, not so that you're amused, or we just kill some time, so that a revelation comes to you, and it's not a revelation that's coming from me to you. No, not at all. It's just a revelation that's coming in your own aware space, in your own exploration, right here, right now. And that's so beautiful. It's like a gift of joy and peace. So I hope you get a taste of that, and as you get a taste of that, cherish that. Cherish. Don't cherish your stories about you, about your neighbor, about your partner. Who cares? These are just stories of the mind. Cherish the perfume of love, the sense of wholeness. That is what you are. You are this wholeness. What's the point of being this wholeness without enjoying it, without smelling its perfume, without tasting it, without savoring it? So savor the wholeness, and the way you savor the wholeness is by recognizing it. First, recognize the wholeness of your being. Not me versus you. No, none of that. Just the wholeness of awareness, the wholeness of consciousness, the wholeness of being. So, thank you for this lovely time, for this wonderful meditation. Very, very lovely. We are beauty itself. We are love itself. We are joy itself. We are wholeness. That's what we are. Doesn't matter your name, my name, your age, where you came from, what happened to you yesterday. Doesn't matter how you're feeling now, how you felt yesterday, how you're going to feel tomorrow. Who cares? You are the love. You are the presence. You are unbound being. When you say I love you, it means I am you. I am you, because in love, one, there is no me and you in love, right? I can hear you say yes. I can hear you say yes. There is no me and you in love. In love, we dissolve in each other. It's like one heart. Yes. Yes, happy learner. I don't know your name, but happy learner is good. Yes, the stories of the mind don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. Don't give them any meaning. Life is a joyful experience, Larry. Yes. Not the story of joy. Yes. Not the story of joy. Live the joy. Live the joy. Live the joy. Yeah, also why not? The story of joy too. But don't make the whole joy about the story. Stories can be amusing. Can be fun. Can be lighthearted. You can be... You know, lightheartedness is a divine quality. You know, like sometimes people take everything serious. Oh my God, this and that. That's happening to me. And this happening to me. You tell them, come on, lighten up, right? Don't you say, lighten up? Lightening up, lightness of being is a divine quality. Laughter, joy, looking at children play. Yeah, sometimes you look at children play and they're doing the silliest thing. They just, I don't know, they're just playing in sand. Sometimes you spend, you know, minutes and minutes just looking at them. Oh my God, look how they're playing with the study. Oh, now he's smiling. Oh, now he's putting the sand in this bucket. You know, oh, wow, look, he poured the sand over on the side. It's not silly. It's a lightheartedness. It's the appreciation. It's the appreciation of appreciation. You're appreciating appreciation. You don't need to appreciate something. Appreciate appreciation, being. It's a divine quality. Appreciation is a divine quality. Lightness of heart, appreciation. Recognition, the other as yourself. Recognition of the world as your body. It's a divine recognition. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for inviting me such a last minute to be together. It's very lovely. Blessings to you all, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you all.